Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 19, and we won't be exhaustive, but we'll spend some time where I think it needs to be spent, Lord willing, according to his will. I would begin with this question. Once you get to Philippians 4, let me ask you this question. What limits God? What limits God? You say, well, nothing limits God. Let me ask the question differently. Why isn't God doing, let's just use the word more. Why aren't we seeing more souls saved? Why aren't we seeing more success in the area of missions? Why isn't God doing more? What limits God? And you have to admit, if you're honest with the Bible, we limit God. Two particular ways we limit God. One of them is when we distrust Him. You say, well, Pastor, I trust God. I do too. But then there are times when we think twice. We think twice about handing out a tract. We think twice about witnessing to somebody. We think twice about, you know, giving to a missionary or to God, for example. We're going to see that in a second. When we distrust God in those little ways, it makes a big difference. And the other one that limits God is our disobedience. And sometimes we disobey God. And I think we know. Quite often, there are occasions when we might not understand, but most of the time we understand, and that limits God. There are two verses in this passage that you have heard and heard and heard and heard, and I don't want to take anything away from you. I just want to warn you, you got to be careful with these two verses. One of them in Philippians chapter 4 is verse 13, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And it's in the Bible. I just want to caution you, there are some prerequisites. There are some things that we need to do before we're going to see God bless. And I'll show you some of that here in just a minute. And then there's another one here in verse 19 that we hear quite often. He says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And can God supply all of our need? Is that a promise? Amen? Is it true that there are times when God holds things back from us because of our distrust or our disobedience? I really believe when you get to eternity, there's going to be some times when you're going to say to yourself, I could have done more, I should have done more, for whatever reason I chose not to. Either distrust or disobedience is probably the two reasons. And so, I just want to tell you, I love this verse. I know God can do this, but I do think you need to read the verses before it. Amen? Because God's talking to a group of people, and he didn't just hop into the conversation right there in verse 19. He started back up in verse 10. So let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. We're not going to be long, but I think I can show you what we need to see in about 15 minutes here, and then we'll finish up on time. Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading out loud as you follow along silently, verses 10 through 19. He says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this evening that we can see so clearly what you have said to us, but I pray you'd make it even more clear. Help us to understand some things now that would make a difference in our lives, in the way we choose to serve you, to trust you, to obey you, particularly in this area of providing for others and also of trusting you to provide for us. Lord, I pray now that you would have your will as we meet and give us a blessing from heaven by your Holy Spirit through the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not sure how many of them there are, but I know of at least two places on earth. One of them is Salt Lake, the Great Salt Lake, and the other one is the Dead Sea, where water flows in, but it doesn't really flow out. And what a mess that is. How many of you have been up near the Salt Lake? Never been up near to it? Nobody. Oh, Mark, okay. We used to go there in Salt Lake City. We would go out on this called Antelope Island. When we first moved to Salt Lake City back in 86, the water level was so high that they had begun building some pumps. They spent tons of money, millions of dollars, to build some pumps to pump water out of the Salt Lake into the desert because it was getting too full. Well, that didn't last very long. The pumps are just sitting there now because the lake started to empty on its own. But the Salt Lake City is a place where water flows in and it doesn't flow out. And just to make it plain, it stinks. It is not a pleasant thing to get into. If you ever go to Israel, the other place like that's the Dead Sea. Here's the pastor's advice: don't get in the Dead Sea. Not a good idea. If you want to experience the Dead Sea, my advice would be let somebody else do it and tell you what it was like. We walked in about knee deep and we thought that's enough for us. The Dead Sea has got so much mineral content that there's about an inch of hard crust on the bottom, if not more. And when you walk on it, it hurts your feet. And then when you get out, you're just covered in ugh. And it takes forever to get it off. And anyway, a lake that takes things in and doesn't give things out turns into a stinking mess. And the same thing is true for people. Amen? You know why God blesses you and I? One of the reasons God blesses you and I know it's because he loves us. But you know why he blesses you and I? So we can bless others. Amen? And I'm going to say this. I'm not trying to get your money from you. I don't want it. God doesn't need it. But if you will be generous with God, God will be generous with you. I'll show you some verses as we finish up if I have time. This idea of God's supply. There's three things you need to remember. And first of all, the simple one is God does provide. Amen? Look what Paul says here. Look at verse 10. He says, I rejoiced. And he says in verse 11, he says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I do not speak in respect of want, he said. David said it in the Psalms. David says, I've been young and now I am old, and yet I've never seen God's seed begging for bread. Folks, God takes care of his people. Even when we're not perfect, Israel, when they were in the wilderness, when they disobeyed him and they didn't trust him, and he would not let them win the battle to take the promised land, they had to wander for 40 years, but their shoes didn't wear out. And every morning, they gathered food that they could eat for the day. They didn't starve. They had what they needed. He gave them water. Constantly, they'd say, oh, Moses brought us out here to kill us. No, he didn't. Moses brought you out here to get you out of the slavery in Egypt, and so you can see what God can do. I love the psalm. I can't quote the reference, but I love the psalm that says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. You know, if you have ever had children or grandchildren, how much you enjoy giving them things, don't you? You enjoy being a blessing to them. Don't you think God enjoys being a blessing to us? And doesn't it break your heart when your child or your grandchild has been disobedient and you can't do what you wanted to because you got to stop and deal with the disobedience? And I had a particular moment in my life. I had a son that had gone away to go to school. And my wife will tell you, I was fixing up his room. He had a bedroom and a bathroom right next to it. And I painted and I put new carpet in and I fixed drywall. And I went back in and made sure it was all perfect. And I got curtains. And I fixed, there was a broken mirror, and I fixed the broken mirror, and I had the room just perfect. In the middle of that project, I found out my son had done something wicked. And it made me sad. And I thought to myself, that's the same thing we do to God. God is looking forward to showing you that place He's prepared for you. And then He has to stop and deal with our sins sometimes. And He loves us. He wants to bless us. And now, just got to not get ahead of myself here. I'm going to have to hold a thought. But God's supply. God provides our wants. He instructs us, however, even in fullness and in hunger, to have a certain attitude. Paul says, I'm instructed to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And what he's saying there is, it's not a question of how much I have in the bank or in the food pantry or in the supply closet or whatever. I always trust God. Amen? You know, have you ever asked yourself, you pray for your food. Lord, thank you for this food. And you might think to yourself, I got a whole pantry full of food. Why do you have a pantry? What keeps your pantry from burning down? What would the devil do to you if he could? What did he do to Job? Did he take everything from Job? The fact that you got a pantry full of food or an account with money in the bank or that you've got anything is because of God. And we ought to be thankful for that. And so we constantly depend on God in spite of the supply we have. Stories flood into my mind, and one of the ones I love the most is the one I've told you before at least once, so I'll be brief, of Don Jansen, the evangelist, who's now, he's been in evangelism for 50-some-odd years. He's older than Brother Mark, to give you an idea. Brother Mark's getting up there. And Don Jasmine tells a story of going to a lady's house, and he honestly was dreading having to go home that night because they had no food in the house. He's a preacher, and there's no food in the house and no money to buy it with. And he's thinking, what am I going to do for dinner? And my wife, how am I going to feed my wife tonight? And he goes and visits a lady. And when he finishes the visit, the lady says, hey, she says, you know, I got a whole bunch of groceries here I can't eat. Would you like them? Yeah, that would be nice. And not just a few things, but some meat and all sorts of things. And he went home with his arms full. God did that. Can God do that? Yeah. You depend on God whether the bank account's full or empty, whether the pantry's full or empty, whether the car's full of gas or empty, whether whatever. We depend on God. And when we do that, we know God provides. In verse 13, now I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can go through a dry season. I can go through a famine. I can go through a period where there's not a lot of provision. You know, sometimes we have more trouble dealing with bounty than we do with insufficiency. When you haven't got a whole lot, you're pretty good at praying, aren't you? But when you got everything you need, sometimes we forget about God, don't we? That's what Paul was talking about there. He said, I can do all things through Christ. And I wish I could spend a lot more time on that verse. I just want to caution you. Don't try and take that verse and make it mean what it doesn't mean. I'm not trying to take it away from you, but Paul's interested here in how he can endure and face the trials of life, and he can do all that through Christ, which strengtheneth him, and he does strengthen us. In fact, I should have said it already. What do you need more? What do you need more than money? Faith. Amen? Strength. Amen? Encouragement. Amen? Righteousness, a desire to please God. If I was to ask you right now, I give you two choices. You can have a large quantity of money, or you can have God come and do a work on your heart that makes you, I'll just pull this out of the air, 10 times more godly than you are right now. You got to choose godliness, don't you? Amen? Now, you don't have to choose between the two. But when we talk about God meeting our needs, it's not just food and clothing and shelter. It's things that are much more important than that. I know a lot of people that have got plenty of food, plenty of clothing, plenty of shelter, nice car, nice house, all the rest, and their life's miserable. And then there are people that don't have hardly anything, and they're content because they trust the Lord. And they're happy because they live for the Lord. You'd a lot rather have that than be rich. And I just warn you again, the devil can give you riches. The devil cannot give you holiness. God can give you righteousness. Amen? God can change my heart and make me desire things I don't desire and make me not desire things I do desire. I want that. Amen? That's a whole lot more of a need, I think, than the monetary piece of it. God's provision, God's supply is He provides. The second thing, and I got 5 minutes, I got to go fast. Verse 14 through 16, it's not just a matter of God's provision, it's a matter of our participation. God blesses us so that we can bless others. God meets our needs so we can meet the needs of others. And let's just say you gave too much. You weren't paying attention and you gave God more money than you should have. Don't you think God can take care of you? Right. Do you remember the widow with the widow's mite? What was it that she gave? Was it two? Wasn't that right? She had two and she gave two. Well, you say, well, Pastor, she should have kept one so she'd have something to buy food with. What did she decide? To trust God. I'm very thoroughly convinced she did not lose out on her meal that night. God took care of her. I know He did. You'll meet her in heaven and find out what she got. Our participation. Folks, God provides, but He uses us. He says to the Philippians there in verse 14, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Folks, plain language here. God wants us to meet the needs of the missionaries and the people out there getting the gospel out. Amen? And He wants us to meet those needs. It's doing well when we do that. He says to them in verse 15, He says, you know that in the beginning of the gospel, He said, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And I just remind you, it's the church is the instrument that God uses to supply those missionaries, but we are the church. And then He says in verse 16, even in Thessalonica, when they could have been taken care of Him, ye sent once and again to my necessity. It's good to keep on doing it. And then because of that, there is a product. So you have the provision from God, the participation of His churches, of His people. And now look at the product. In verse 17, he says, not because I desire a gift, but he says, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Folks, our account in heaven is increased when we give to God's people, to God's missionaries. Amen? Our account in heaven. You know, we did a missions conference in Utah one time like that. It was about our bank account in heaven. You know, you've got a bank account here on earth. You know the balance and you know how to get money out of it and how to put money into it and all the rest. But how's your bank account in heaven? Jesus said, lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt and where thieves don't break through and steal. Have you laid up any treasure in heaven? There's ways to do that. Soul winning. But be a blessing to a missionary. Stephen Harris, the missionary to Magdalena in Mexico, has a practice. If any missionary or any pastor came to visit his church, when it came time to leave, he did this for me more than once. I've done it for him a couple of times too. When any missionary came to visit his church or pastor, he'd say, let me know when you get ready to leave town and I will fill your tank up with gas. And he'd put a tank full of gas in your car. And he told me one time, he said, I've got a personal policy, a practice, financial practice. He said, I don't want to be spending any more money on anything monthly than I do on missions. He said, if my house payment's this much, I want to spend that much on missions. If my car payment's that much or my retirement, whatever, he said, I think God's work ought to be the most important thing in our life. Amen? And that's the way he practiced it, and God's taking good care of him. Your account in heaven is increased. You're blessed. He says in verse 10, he talks about he rejoiced. And then he says in verse 18, he says, I'm full. He says the things that you sent were pleasant. And in verse 18, he says that it is a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Folks, it pleases God. Amen? And that's a good reason to do anything if it pleases God. And then, verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And the way I know that connects to verse 18 is because of that word but. There's a connection there. There was a sacrifice in verse 18. There's supply in verse 19. There was the well-pleasing thing they did in verse 18. There's the met needs in verse 19. And yes, we know the Lord has riches in glory. So when we take care of one of God's people, God takes care of us. And I don't care how much you got in your bank account, He's got more. Amen? I don't care what your need is, He's got a supply. So there's this product of giving. It gets the gospel out. We mentioned that verse back in verse 15. You can see that. It blesses the people we give to. It pleases God. It gives God an instrument to provide for our needs also. Now, let me read you this. I'm a tad over, but let me read you some verses and we'll be done. And you don't need to turn there. But in Proverbs 21, the Bible says, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." Proverbs 22:9, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." Proverbs 28:27, "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." Just three verses there in Proverbs that are very clear. When we are generous with others, God's generous with us. Amen? Particularly those that have need, those that are poor. The word poor means they have wants or needs that are not met. You cannot claim Philippians 4:19 until you practice verses 14 through 18. The Philippians sent once and again to Paul's needs caused Paul to rejoice. It caused them to be commended. It caused them to have fruit abounding in their account. It was well-pleasing to God, and it assured that God would supply their needs. Folks, God's so good to us. Shouldn't we be good to others? Amen? It excites me. I get thrilled when a missionary or an evangelist comes in and we give them a generous love offering. Because then I know something. God's going to be generous with us too. But even if He wasn't, it pleases Him. It blesses our account in heaven. And it's a blessing to the people we help. Amen? Be generous. God is. We should be too. Let's all stand and pray.